Every Christmas Eve, my brother would go to bed at 6:30. He would say goodnight right in the middle of scheme sum. And my mom and I, we'd be looking at him like, oh. And then? The only reason why he's doing it is because he wants Christmas to come sooner. He is 27, my guy. 27.
The combination meal. Inspired by seven colors, there's something for everyone. Nando's. Fire it up.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Exactly. That's the sounds Mabali's stomach was making on Friday last week. And you know what? I thought she was trying to have an early weekend. But then she told us yesterday how she was just, in abject pain, squeezed into the fetal position, trying not to shit the bed.
I mean, I would say that I spent the majority of Friday and half of Saturday in the bathroom. That was
on the floor.
Yes, that was where I lived.
You lived on the floor of a bathroom. like the most terrible kind of living for a human to. Well, Ben has it today.
Oh, man.
And I have to tell you, let's play open cards here. I woke up this morning and I felt very queasy from, and I have a stomach like a concrete mixer.
You do.
Jesus, I mean, you could put anything into me. You could put like 7 day old meat into me and I'll be fine. No, I'll be fine. I have a constitution like an ox when it comes to what I eat. I think that's why I crave acid so much. My stomach acid levels are fucking sky high. So I can, my stomach must be the most inhospitable place in the universe, but it saves me. I mean, like, I don't get stomach sick. I don't throw up very easily. I've probably done it 2-3 times in my life.
Ooh, no.
But this thing is not messing around. I mean, I can feel it kind of, this is what it sounds like inside everyone's stomach. Sia said this morning in the building.
It really does. I can't.
It is the most annoying thing because there's only so much that you can do to try and prevent yourself from getting sick. But, you know, because we work in confined spaces and you end up touching things together and you end up picking up,
there's nothing we can do.
Bacteria and viruses from surfaces. Some of us get unlucky and it just penetrates.
Right into our core of our being, our gut.
We don't need this now.
The most
now.
Primitive part of us, right? It's the most primitive part of us. It's the part that turns energy from outside substances into energy on the inside. Oh, no. Oh yeah. That's what we do.
So you're feeling queasy.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to not come to work today. I mean, Ben's already, he was warning us last night that he was feeling the squirts coming on.
And it's so degrading as well.
Oh, it's so horrible.
It just shows us we're nothing.
Isn't it degrading?
But,
we shouldn't still be doing this. Like, we're not beasts of the field.
That's why I was saying yesterday, the human body is just, it's a disgusting vessel.
Amanda, please bring me some water and make sure that it's in a bottle that's sealed.
Yeah, the question is, you're trusting Amanda, who also said she's feeling queasy?
Yeah, are you feeling all right? Let's go to Amanda here, because this is shocking. Even she is not 100%. She said she was throwing up. What was it?
Hi, everyone.
Morning.
About 1 o'clock last night, I just woke up and
it
felt like
in the middle of
it
the
felt
night.
Like there was a tornado in my stomach.
Oh my god!
It was just like, and then I just threw up, but like twice. But I feel better. But literally throwing up is the worst thing. It drains all your energy, everything out of you, gone. You next, Sia.
Poor Sia. He's so paranoid already. You know how he walks around like Piglet with anxiety all day long.
Shame.
Now he has to deal with the fact that at some point during the day today, he's going to be confronted by stomach ailments.
Okay, can I just put it out there? The worst thing is, I actually have a bunch of different things to do. We have, like, we're going to Kolkata's at 11, and then I have a TV interview at 2:30 today.
Oh, what's that for?
Is it live television?
It's live for an hour.
Oh,
what's the show?
It is like my childhood dream come true. So they asked me to be on Yo TV this afternoon. Oh. I'm like, shut the front door. Like, this is how I grew up every single day.
Now you're going to grow up in front of the cameras and show everybody what it's like to have a stomach bug.
Imagine live on TV. Yeah. And it's like, yay, amazing days. You know, it's amazing. Your holidays are starting. And cue the stomach.
Yeah, I mean, if you projectile vomited onto one of the presenters, you would definitely trend on Twitter.
That would be a great way. Please do that. That would be so great. The ratings would be through the roof. Like, oh my God, guys, did you see there was this dude who threw up all over the Yo TV presenter?
I'm so scared.
Please do it. Please.
I need to Google what to do to be anti...
Nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Mubs is the medical microbiologist. Ask her, these things get into your gut, they're going to ruin it.
It's still so frustrating that something as small as a virus or bacteria can cause such mayhem inside these big bodies of ours. But they really just cut you down to size, eh? Yeah.
Is it really safe that we'll be making pizza this morning as well?
We're not making them for anyone else.
Okay.
So you're making it for yourself and you've already got whatever you've got.
Okay, it's fine, yeah.
I'm not touching your pizza,
yeah,
you're
not
touching mine.
I'll trust myself with my own pizza. Okay, that's good.
Oh my God.
What a delight.
I know, what a thing to wake up to this morning. I was having such a... Yesterday, I was laughing at Ben. I was like, ha ha ha.
Wow.
You with your weak stomach.
Oh.
You see, that always happens when you're a bastard. It's like good. No, it really does. And when you do nice things and you're a nice person, good things happen to you. I follow that rule. You can call it karma if you want to, but it's proven to be useful to me. Because there's no way I can scientifically prove it works. And if I get into an argument with someone who goes it's bullshit, I acknowledge, yeah, it's probably bullshit, but I like it. So I try not to be a bastard. But because I was being mean to Ben last night, it came to get me. That's what I believe. It came. In the dead of the night, like in Amanda's case, I woke up this morning and I did find myself a little curled up into a question mark position. And I was not feeling the best. But who knows? I might just get over it in the next hour.
Yeah.
We've got an amazing show for you today. We've got Run popping by with our Crypto Man Run. That's what you can find him on Twitter doing. And you know, a lot of people have been talking about this. I've got to tell you, it's becoming a little bit annoying. That everyone in the world is now suddenly talking about Bitcoin. They really are. I mean, have you also found that wherever you go, this is what people are saying, it's the new get-rich-quick scheme? I heard about a guy in America. I don't know this person. If I did, I would immediately disassociate from them. Someone who took out a mortgage, a second mortgage on their house so that they could buy Bitcoin.
Ooh, that's not advisable.
No, I mean, the minute you're going into debt to try and make money, you're going about things the wrong way.
Yeah. No. But so when you say that you find it annoying that other people are talking about, do you want to be the only annoying one?
No. Don't get me wrong. I mean, listen, I've been involved in those conversations, but I do think it's better than politics, and it's better than religion, and it's better than talking about other people's relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not gossipy. Everyone has a point of view. I've met a lot of people who think Bitcoin's bullshit. They won't buy into it. They're not interested at all. Most of them are also the same people who lost all their money on Steinhoff. So I'm not saying there's a correlation, but there might be. It's become the topic of conversation. And I think around the Christmas table this year, that's what a lot of people are going to find themselves talking about. And I mean, I didn't know, for example, until last week that my bunny had interests in cryptocurrency.
Yeah, I got in there after my brother made some small anyana change. And I thought, oh, okay, I also went in on some of that action.
Like yesterday's caller, yeah. Cindy.
Can you believe that, Cindy? You know, I've been thinking about Cindy. She's sitting on a pile of 2.5 million rand that she made off 100,000 rand.
Unbelievable.
I mean, that's great. You know what? That is great.
Yeah, it really
is. Don't tell me that wealth can't be created and that there's a certain amount of wealth in the world. We can make more. And this is how you make more. You do speculative, smart, slightly risky but calculated risky stuff in the beginning. You get in early and you can make tons of money. I mean, she was saying, oh, that was her, you know, she'd saved up some money, and that was her bonus as well. And instead of putting it into the bank account, which most of us would do to pay off our debts, she went, I'm going to put this into Bitcoin. I mean, what a move to put 100,000 Rand into Bitcoin like a year and a half ago. You had to be ballsy. And I read about this dude who put like $25,000 into Bitcoin in 2011. He's worth 400 and something million now. He's living on an island. What a life. And this guy was not rich. He was us a couple of years ago. He was us. You know? So what I'm saying is that it's become the thing everyone's talking about, because there are all these stories of people who've got rich, but I'm sure there are also stories of people who've lost a ton of money.
Yeah, we need to hear those stories as well.
Yeah, we need to balance the equation, you know? So Ron will pop in a little later on. We'll find out what's new in the global cryptocurrencies market. And we're also going to check in with our guest, Professor Tembelela. It's Tembela, right? Yes, of course. Tembela Healy. I met this guy a while ago. He's the chairman of nanotechnology at the CSIR. And I remember talking to him about stuff that I have been curious about for years, ever since I first heard that word nano. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that what it means is extremely, extremely small. You know, you get a millimeter, then you get a micrometer, then you get a nanometer. And it's, I think, 10 to the minus 8. Something like that. It's tiny. Don't quote me on that. Check it out. For heaven's sake, don't go and write your physics exam or anything based on what I've just said. This guy is leading the CSIR's charge on creating nano machines, nanobots, the tiniest little microprocessors that are able to do amazing things at the fastest speeds and at the smallest, shortest distances. It's really incredible stuff. So if you're interested in that, the cutting edge of technology and science and what they're doing at the CSIR, Tembela Healy is the prof who I got to speak to. We'll play that out at 8 o'clock this morning. Also got some interesting feedback on the Kate Turkington interview. People just loved that the other day. She was so much fun to talk to.
Oh, that was a delight. She was fun.
And someone even said to me, oh, that was your aunt. And she's not really my aunt. Everybody calls her Aunt Kate Turkington or Auntie Kate. I mean, she's in her 80s and she has a more exciting life than any of us. Believe me, any of us. So to sit and talk to her was so much fun. And we've known each other a long time, and I produced for her for a while when she had a show on 702. But she leads the most incredibly interesting life. She goes,
it's the traveling, it's the declining proposals from English suitors.
Yes, she told some dude, no, don't be ridiculous, I'm not going to marry you. And she's done this two or three times in her life. Anyway, so it was really fun. And if you like that kind of conversation, then maybe that podcast is for you. You know, over the holidays, a lot of people are going to have time to catch up on podcasts, and you know, you get some quiet alone time. I found this thing. Did I send it to you, Mubs? That thing, you probably thought I was joking with you. The podcast by Sam Harris called "Is Life Actually Worth Living?"
Oh yes, I saw the link that you sent to me, but I still haven't had a chance to listen to it.
Well, when you do, I think. And by the way, it's not depressing. It sounds terrible. The title of it is Life Actually Worth Living? Which sounds awful, right? It sounds like the kind of thing that someone says before they kill themselves.
Yes.
But he speaks to a professor here in South Africa called David Benatar.
Okay.
Who is fascinating. This guy's what they call an antinatalist. He says that it is cruel to bring other existences into being. It's cruel to bring someone to life. It's cruel to make a person.
This is a professor.
He's a professor of philosophy at UCT. Very smart man. Argues an extremely strong case against humans reproducing. He says, and I knew you'd like this, that's why I sent it to you. He says that this this idea of ours that to exist is good, is ridiculous. He says existence is by definition painful because you get into situations throughout your life which are painful, which involve suffering. Death is full of suffering. Leaving people behind, hurting your heart, breaking relationships up, losing, feeling victimized. These are all things that all human beings go through, even Donald Trump, who thinks he's impervious to this stuff. And every life, he says, on the balance, is more suffering than good. Now, I diverge slightly from that. I'm a bit of an optimist, you know, for whatever, good or bad reasons. This guy says you shouldn't make a person. He said it is a monstrous, he says it's monstrous and cruel to make a person, because you do not, you're not even there one day when that child who you've made at 63 gets cancer and dies a horrible death.
Oh.
He says that is a cruel thing for you to do. And you don't think about that when you make the child or when you're rearing it at age 3, 4, 5. He said, but when you get to a position where you're able to project what might happen to it in the future, making a child, he says, is always going to be the worst choice you can do, as opposed to not making one and ending. He says if we all had to switch off, mm-hmm. if all our brains just switched off,
yeah.
and there was no suffering,
yeah.
it would be better for all of us than to exist.
Oh, okay. He sounds,
and then he's, yo,
he sounds extreme. Also, it's a bit problematic because he's speaking from a point of privilege of already being here. He exists himself.
That's it. And he said that we've got a bias in favor of existence. He says if you want to be objective about this, you must not have that bias in favor of existence.
Does he have children?
Not existing is always better than existing. I don't know. He's going to be on the Renegade Report, I think. He's debating Jordan Peterson, who's a genius. And a religious man, rare among academics. He's a religious man, Jordan Peterson. He's an anti kind of, he's very against all these pronouns that people use to define every kind of gender in between male and female and everything on the outside of those. And he's a very realistic Canadian professor of philosophy. And the two of them are going to debate, because Jordan Peterson says the only purpose, well, not the only, but one of the most important purposes of existing is that you are able to procreate and pass that life on to your children, and that your children will inherit a world better than you.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, David Benatar, here in Cape Town, exactly the opposite. He's like, nah, there's no amount of good, he says, that you can have in your life that will outweigh the suffering that existence brings. It's hard to listen to.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a bit. Yeah. I mean, it's. I don't know if this is holiday listening, Gareth.
No.
You know, I'm going to be in a good mood. I'm going to be chirpy.
It's not depressing.
I'm going to be drunk.
It's just the kind of thing that you, you know, sometimes your brain needs to go for a jog.
Okay.
Yes, or a sprint. This sounds more like a sprint.
I don't want to get to the end of my holiday and go, there was nothing I did during this holiday that didn't improve my mind. Otherwise, I'll feel like I didn't really relax, because relaxing to me isn't doing nothing. Relaxing to me is doing the things I love because I finally have time for them. Don't you think that's better? Or do you just want to do nothing? I'm okay if you want to do that.
I am doing nothing.
I can't do nothing. I get very frustrated. I get anxious. I start doing work. I turn on my laptop. Before you know it, I've written something, or I've designed a house, or I've done something crazy, because I just get frustrated if I have nothing to do. I can't do nothing. I get bored. I suppose you can't be bored if you always find something to do, but in those moments where I'm doing nothing, I can't just lie on the sofa and do nothing. I can't do it. So I want to read, or I want to learn, and really for me, podcasting has replaced so much of the reading I used to do, and I don't feel bad about that. Books take up space. I've got a house full of books. I've nowhere else to put them anymore. I have no space left for books. So podcasts take up less space. You can listen to them while you're doing other things. It's usually very particular subject matter. So it's not, you're not going to listen to a podcast and whatever's on, I'll listen to. If you're not interested, you're not going to listen.
Mm. Yeah.
And if you are interested, you will listen to the whole thing, right? So it's really replaced that for me, and it's brain food. So I'll take my brain out for a jog, and you've got to listen to stuff like this, because it does make you think. You go about your life and you think, I exist, therefore that's better. But that's not true, necessarily. If you listen to this David Benatar, you'll see what I mean. And don't miss him when he comes out on the Renegade Report in a while. I'm not sure when they've got him, but they did tell me the other day they're very excited. They've got him and Jordan Peterson in a debate, which will be fantastic. All right, it's time for a little bit of news, the news headlines this morning, the five things that you need to know today. And we try to take a look at a couple of things that might come up in conversation. You may end up at the office this morning, and you might stand next to someone who's really well informed, and you might be able to actually surprise them by telling them something that you know that they don't. That's always a nice feeling. Or You might find out something from them that adds to what you already know. Don't know if that makes you happy, but it certainly does me. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. They said you wouldn't find the perfect vegan pizza. They said you wouldn't ever eat something interesting again. You just have boring dry pizza bread. Well, Colcacchio have a solution for you. Get on down to your nearest Colcacchio's. You'll see what I mean. So Ace Magashule has stayed on as ANC chairperson in the Free State.
Woo!
Are you excited about that?
Ow!
As a Free State girl, Mubs?
No, I'm not. I'm just making random noises.
You know, he's been in power 23 years in the province.
Well, you know, Gareth, they say in the land of politicians that the longer you stay in power...
The longer you stay in power. Yeah. It's just, it's really interesting because he's been there 23 years. And here are the other people. I don't know if you'll know who they are. Baseka Nompondo is the deputy chairperson. Provincial Secretary William Bulwane. Deputy Secretary General Mamiki Kabate. I'm very white this morning. Provincial Treasurer Musbenzi Zwani. Can you believe that? So that is, that's an interesting slate for the Free State. I'm not going to comment on what I think of Musbenzi Zwane and Ace Magashule being in there, but you can guess. I love this. This thing happened online. There was this kid called Keaton Jones. You hear about this?
I couldn't even watch that video. I really couldn't.
Yeah. A heartbreaking story of Keaton Jones took an odd twist on Monday when reporters unearthed photos of his family posing with Confederate flags and disparaging posts about Colin Kaepernick and the Black Lives Matter on social media made by the young boy's mother. So all these social justice warriors got behind this kid because he was complaining about being bullied at school. And,
yeah.
You know, he was different and all that kind of thing. So everybody jumped on his bandwagon and said, oh, this kid deserves to be an internet star. And they talked about him and everybody was retweeting and Instagramming. And, oh, we love this kid, Keaton Jones. Oh, I was Keaton Jones, hashtag me too. All that kind of shit. And then they discover in a picture that he's basically from this like right-wing family.
Oh,
and now suddenly he's a terrible child and deserves all that bullying. You know, people are so full of crap. if you're one of those people who rushed to his defense and now you're against him, you are the problem. You are a bully. That is exactly what you are. You only jumped on board because everybody else was. And now when you find out the truth about him, because you did zero investigation, zero reading, you just hopped in an internet bandwagon, now suddenly you want to be the moral exemplar and leave him in the dust because his family are a bunch of hicks.
Nice move,
dumb internet.
But Gareth, why must it be either or? Can't you be both? Can't you have genuinely felt sorry for this kid?
And yeah, they're two different cases.
And his story. Because
you don't believe it?
Because he was being bullied, but at the same time disagree with, you know, his family's stance as far as...
His family's beliefs still doesn't take away from the fact that he's being bullied.
Can you not do both?
Let me tell you something. I don't believe anything on the internet. Oh. I don't believe a goddamn thing. This kid, for all you know, he's a really well-paid actor who's there to try and get something trending. You don't know anymore.
Fake news.
Right.
Jeez.
And I don't care if he's been bullied. I don't know him. I don't know his school. I don't know his friends.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of way he's been bullied. He looks like a kid with problems, just judging from his picture. But how do I even know that's him? I don't get involved. But
why are you questioning so much?
I don't get involved. It's not my business if this kid's been bullied or not. None of my business.
Okay.
And I don't need to get involved. If I know a kid down the road who's getting bullied, I'll get involved because I can do something about that. Going on the internet and going, oh my God, this is so wrong. You know it does nothing. I've got to remind all these slacktivists, Joseph Kony is still there in the Lord's Resistance Army with all of his child soldiers.
We made him famous, though.
We made him famous. How many years ago? 6 years ago? Everybody's like, Joseph Kony must go. Zuma must go. Come on, what are you going to do, you dummies?
What is the alternative, Gareth?
The alternative is to ignore this shit. Don't you have problems of your own?
Yes.
Like, don't you have things that you can solve? Try and solve those.
Yes, but sometimes things like this distract us from our day-to-day problems.
You just used the right word, distract.
And, you know, maybe every now and again I do need a break from my real life.
So what, are you going to someone else's worst life and you go and join on a bandwagon?
Yes. That's what humans do.
Stay away.
Look, if anything, what the story reminds us is how quickly the direction of the wind changes.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. Nicolas Cage has already bought his grave.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You heard about this?
That's, I mean...
Nicolas Cage has bought a 9-foot pyramid in New Orleans as his grave.
Okay, well, the pyramid wants to be buried. Is there.
I'm Nicolas Cage. I want to be buried under that pyramid.
Okay, it's your money. You can do what you want.
Do what you want. Stupid thing to spend money on, but there we go. All right. SAFTU has slammed Abraham's extension of Zuma's deadline for representations and charges, but they're not the only ones. Apparently, a lot of people very upset that Sean Abrahams is going to extend President Jacob Gedleyihle Zuma's period that he has to make representations to the NPA. We are not aware of any case where someone facing 783 counts of corruption, fraud, money laundering, and racketeering have been given 3 months to make representations. We challenge Advocate Abrahams to produce a list of other suspected criminals who've been given a chance to make these kinds of representation. SAFTU acting spokesperson Patrick Craven said in a statement on Monday. Yeah, people just can't believe that this guy's getting this kid glove treatment. And his chances are running out. Did you see that the KZN vote was not unanimous and it wasn't all for Nkosazana? And now the president's really upset with them. He's like angry with them. Pretty crazy, huh?
Ooh,
well,
snap.
I mean, they didn't stick to the script. How dare they?
Yeah, how dare they? Then there was this douchebag who tried to blow himself up at the Port Authority in Manhattan. Did you hear about this? A friend of mine lives in Manhattan. He told us he heard the explosion right outside his flat. Yeah. So some idiot tried to blow himself up, and he succeeded in like rupturing his digestive organs or whatever. So he's got all his guts spilt out or something. But he's such an idiot, this Akayed Ullah. And who didn't know he was going to be Muslim? I hate to say it because it's like such an obvious thing to jump to, and then people are going to say, oh, you're racist. But the fact is, like, I immediately knew. When I heard this story, I was like, Allahu Akbar. Got to be, right? Anyway, he blew himself up and didn't hurt anybody else. He had a low-tech explosive device strapped to his body. Three other people suffered minor wounds when it blew up in an underpass. What an idiot. He's lying on the ground in this picture that's been circulating on social media with his clothes ripped and lacerations on his upper body. And he's believed to have acted alone. What an idiot.
So he's still alive?
Well, I hope they don't treat him. They must just put this guy straight into jail. Someone is willing to blow themselves up. This is not the kind of person we can have joining the rest of us in civilized society. It's just not possible. And let's see what else there is. Oh, this is interesting. There's this U.S. soldier who has just died at 77. He was the U.S. soldier who defected to North Korea.
Oh, goodness. It's
a hell of a story. His name is Charles Jenkins.
What kind of marketing plan did North Korea run on him
I do not know.
He was sold.
But he later married a Japanese victim of the North Korean regime, and he died in Japan aged 77 with his wife Hitomi Soga. He was freed by North Korea in 2002 and returned to his native country. And he and his wife had daughters, Mika and Brinda, and he was regarded as a traitor after details emerged of his defection to the communist North in 1965 at the height of the Cold War. He's accused of deserting his unit. And he later said that the North Korean authorities had turned down his request to be sent to the Soviet Union, where he planned to turn himself in at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow. So he ended up being a prisoner for a couple of years. Yeah, also, bad life decision. But what can we do? He's dead now at 77, and that's the whole story of his life.
I know.
Yeah. All right, so those are the five things you need to know today. It's brought to you by Kolkakia Pizzeria. If you're wondering where Ben is, he's sitting at home with a terrible stomach problem, which is exactly the same thing Mabale had on Friday. So be careful out there, kids. Could be you next.
If it's around.
Yeah.
Sitting is a very gentle term to use.
Well, what did he say in our WhatsApp group? He said Meowsers is going to take care of him.
A nurse Meowsers.
Well, that's already a mistake.
First of all, Meowsers tried to kill Ben once before.
Now she'll see his weakness and go for the jugular.
I'm a little bit worried about Ben. Yeah, he's with that cat.
Ooh. These are actual sounds we're transmitting live from Ben's bathroom.
He sounds like he's going through the most.
He's sitting on the toilet more
right,
like it.
Sia Sangweni, it is time for you to tell us about what you think is inspirational, optimistic, interesting, uplifting, and positive this morning.
Yes, it is that
said
time.
By Sia.
my favorite time of the day, if I do say so myself.
Oh, nice.
There is an actor by the name of Charlie Day. You actually might not know his name, but if you Google him, you know him as a weird and this like oddball character that's been a bunch of in probably your favorite movies.
Who dat?
Horrible Bosses and Horrible Bosses
Who?
2.
What's his name?
He was the dentist. His name is Charlie Day. Mm. He's also starred in his Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Fist Fight, etc., etc.
Did Harvey Weinstein do something to him?
No. Oh. Well, actually, this is a video that's resurfaced after a couple of years. It was him actually giving a speech at his university, and it's gone viral once again, just for the best of reasons, because in true Charlie Day humor, he's been able to talk to his alma mater about not letting fear stop you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's actually a good one to listen to this morning.
All right. So just remind me what his name is. Charlie Day.
Charlie Day.
Mabs, ever heard of him?
I think I'm seeing his face, but...
Yes.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, the name, probably not. The face you'll recognize. Yeah.
Right. Let's take a listen to him. Here he is for your pleasure this morning and hopefully some inspiration for you.
I don't give a shit.
There we go.
Okay?
Okay. That's a hell of a start.
Now listen up. You cannot let a fear of failure or a fear of comparison or a fear of judgment stop you from doing what's going to make you great. You cannot succeed without this risk of failure. You cannot have a voice without the risk of criticism. And you cannot love without the risk of loss. You must go out and you must take these risks. Everything I'm truly proud of in this life has been a terrifying prospect to me. From my first play, to hosting Saturday Night Live, to getting married, to being a father, to speaking to you today. None of it comes easy. And people will tell you to do what makes you happy, but a lot of this has been hard work. And I'm not always happy. And I don't think you should do just what makes you happy. I think you should do what makes you great. Do what's uncomfortable and scary and hard, but pays off in the long run. Be willing to fail. Let yourself fail. Fail in the way, in the place where you would want to fail. Fail, pick yourself up, and fail again. Because without this struggle, what is your success anyway? Look, as best we know it, we have one life. In it, you have to trust your own voice, your own ideas, your honesty, your vulnerability. And through this, you will find your way. You do not have to be fearless. Just don't let fear stop you. Live like this as best you can, and I guarantee you will look back on a life well lived. You are capable of greatness in your profession, and more importantly, in your quality of self. Stay hungry. Stay young at heart. Take those risks. You are going to change the world around you in big ways and in small. And I greatly look forward to being a part of the future that you will shape. Congratulations, graduates, and good luck.
Oh, nice. How's that, huh?
I like it for his honesty and the truth in it.
I know the guy is an actor. He's probably fairly average, which is why no one knows who he is. Yeah. But I like what he said. Huh? Don't you like
it? I don't give a shit.
What a start.
Yeah. But it's the truth. You can't let fear of failure
hold
you back.
Do you know how many people are trapped in that?
Yeah.
These people who live their lives constantly worried about what other people think of them. It's the most awful prison you could build for yourself. You know those people don't think about you nearly as much as you think they think about you.
But you don't think about that. You're still just so trapped in the, oh my goodness, what will they say? I can't, and the doubt, and the, it's a horrible cycle.
You know how many people I know who have said, "Oh no, I'm not gonna try that because what if it doesn't work?"
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. You know, we've got an inbuilt. This is such a fascinating thing. Apparently, the fear of loss for humans is much greater than the amount of emotion that is generated by an actual victory. So, if we win, let's say you are. You start a business and you do really well, and after 4 or 5 years, you're making really good money.
Mm-hmm.
That feels great. But if you start something and you lose everything and it's not worth that much, that fear of loss and the feeling of loss is so overwhelming and powerful that if you had to measure the two up, the enjoyment that you get out of success is always less than the amount of misery that you get out of losing.
That's fascinating. That's depressing.
Isn't it? And you know why that happens?
Why?
Because that keeps us on a survival track. If humans were complacent, we would have been eaten by all the other animals long ago. If we were complacent enough and we were like, this is good. This is nice. Like that dog in the meme with the fire burning around him. And he goes, this is fine.
The whole house burning down around.
And the dog sitting there with a mug of coffee and it goes, this is fine.
I want to be that dog.
I know. Isn't it the best? I just love it. And the expression on that dog's face is my favorite thing.
No.
This is fine. But if we had that attitude and if we were genuinely able to integrate happiness the way that we do failure and misery and loss is the big word here, then we would probably not have made it to the point that we're at. That fear of loss has kept us in the game.
Do you know what changed me? And I wish I could still identify particularly which episode this was, but of course I was watching Oprah back in the day. And it was a husband who was a through and through, you know, family man and had this suburban ideal life, but was always so cautious of not enjoying it to fully. The maximum, just because he was so scared of what if I do lose it all.
Yeah.
And one day, I can't even remember how he tragically lost his family and he was now alone. And he said, I wish in those moments when they were still around, I fully loved them and I fully was excited to be around them and I just fully lived, because this half and half thing that I did is actually not even worth it.
No way.
Because now I'm stuck alone and it's absolutely like, well, I'm down in the dumps.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, just go for it. Balls to the wall.
But a lot of our experiences are going to be hindsight things. I mean, that is something that he only realized after the fact. There's no way he could have realized it before.
But I'm of the belief that we should all treat and use our lives as lessons, and we can learn from other people. You know, just because one person fell off the cliff, that's when we should all learn, like, okay, maybe don't stand so close to the
edge. That's how we did learn. In fact, that's how we know, you know, what hurts and what doesn't, is we've seen other people being hurt. And sometimes you manage to remember it and it becomes a part of your genetic memory. And sometimes it doesn't. Like, we've all figured out somewhere along the way that it's better to cooperate than to try and kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Amanda,
for that.
Amanda and Sian, Mabali and I decided that all we wanted to do this morning was to kill each other, it would be a zero-sum game. Even if one person emerged victorious at the end of it, it would still be a carnage and it would still be bad, because we wouldn't be able to carry on doing what we do here. If we cooperate and we do things together, we can achieve amazing things. Now, that's a basic thing that humans have learned through experience, and we've learned it collectively. Which is, it doesn't happen very often that you learn anything collectively. So that's quite something. And then when you think about how so many people go through their lives and they're in a bubble. They don't pay any attention to anyone else. They don't expose themselves to enough. They don't read. They don't learn interesting things. And then when bad things happen to them, everybody goes, oh, that's so sad. It's so unfortunate. But actually, no, it's completely predictable. Because they're not paying attention to the things that will keep them ahead of the game, or at least part of the herd. You know, the worst thing you could hope for, if you're paying attention, is to be part of the herd. That's the worst, and at least there's safety in the herd.
Yeah.
If you're the straggler at the back, you get picked off by the predators. That's how it works in nature. So we've learned things by observation, and that's how, I suppose, when you hear a commencement speech like that, this guy's saying, take a risk every now and then. You could be at the front of the herd, which is so good, because even if you fall back into the herd. I mean, I hate to use this obvious metaphor, but it seems to me that if you fear failure, but you're already average, what do you got to lose?
Ooh, that just hit me deep, bro.
if you're already leading a very ordinary, middle-of-the-road life, you've done nothing really exciting. You've never achieved anything of note. You feel like you're a bit of a loser. You kind of look at your life and you're dissatisfied. Then what have you got to lose? What, this crap life? This mediocre...
Which you already are not
run-of-the-mill
happy with?
Life?
Okay. No.
So what do you got to lose? Take the risk. if you are the sort of person who has a lot to lose, that risk becomes much, much harder to take. Yeah, that's why you'll find people, like I often joke about it, that I'll drive past homeless people and be like, oh, I'm a little bit jealous. He can, you know, he can do whatever he wants today.
Yeah. No, really?
I mean, it's ridiculous because I wouldn't want his life. But there's a part of me, and if you rationalize this and you figure it out and you extrapolate it from all your other thoughts and you consider it very carefully, it's a sensible point of view to go, well, in that very moment, he may be hungry, he may be sleep deprived, he may be addled by disease or drugs or anything else. But for that moment, he does have an open day that you sometimes hanker for. Every day is a holiday to him, technically, because he doesn't have to work. He doesn't report to anybody. And he doesn't have any responsibilities to his own family or anything else, right? He's just a homeless dude wandering around. And
well, that's what you think.
Well, you don't know. That's the point, right? You don't know that. And as I was saying, his life may be immeasurably more horrible than anything you can imagine.
Mm.
But for that moment, you're like, huh, I wonder. He can go and sleep under the bridge. He can take a stroll through a park. You know, these are not things that I would think about doing in my spare time.
Those botanical gardens don't seem all that bad about now.
Anyway, so yeah.
But preach on, preacher.
That's enough from me.
That is good.
That's enough philosophy for this morning. Let's see what the messages are saying today. Hey, Gareth, well done in finding Sam Harris. Try the Russell Brand podcast too. I found David Benatar to be quite a sad character, scared of life and scared of death. I didn't find him scared. I think he's thinking about things that make the rest of us uncomfortable, which makes you afraid, not him scared. I don't think he's scared. He's facing up to the idea of not existing, which most humans cannot countenance. Most humans, you throw that anywhere near them, they run like you've thrown a cat among the pigeons. It's just terror for them. Imagine not exist. Me? Special me not existing? Yes, yeah, because your parents fucked you into existence. That's the only reason you exist.
Hey.
Yes, they could easily have taken the contraception that night and you wouldn't be here. Stop thinking you're special. Imagine how rational you have to be to have that point of view as opposed to like, I'm special. You're not really. There are 7 billion other humans out there that could be doing what you're doing.
My parents didn't fuck me into existence.
Oh, see ya.
They did the horizontal salsa.
Oh, no.
That's how it works.
Time for Sia's Christmas song.
Yeah, please.
We need to get him off of this tip before we end up in his parents' bedroom hearing every intimate detail. All right, Sia, what are we looking for today?
Oh, anything.
Let me find you something nice.
Blissful.
Okay.
When can I start wearing my Christmas hat, folks?
Whenever you want.
I'm going to start wearing it from next week for a full week.
Here comes Santa Claus. You ready? Come on. You already missed the beginning.
Did I? No.
Yes.
Oh, no.
What,
no,
do I need
no,
to
no.
play the original for you?
Yes, please.
Let's try this instead. All right, Frosty the Snowman. Do you know that one?
Frosty the Snowman.
Do you know that?
No.
You don't know any of these songs. Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
There we go. That's my vibe.
You better watch
out. You better not shout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming.
Sia. Oh, that's perfect.
Can
5 seconds.
Get to the hook?
My stomach problem just got a whole lot worse. How about yours, Mubs?
I think it's making a comeback.
Wait, yeah. I know. I just need a key change. I'm ready.
No, you started on the wrong key. I even gave you the key.
Celebrate the season of giving with the Bill Cosby Christmas album.
I really can't stay.
Well, baby, please try the rest.
I gotta go away.
Ignore my hand on your breast.
All of the holiday hits, whether you want them or not.
I'm Cosby, the mentor. Take the girls up to my suite. Then take off their underwear while they lie there fast asleep.
On sale now, wherever Spanx fly is sold.
All right. Come back with some news next.
This is CliffCentral.com.